Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Double Cleanse podcast. My name is James Walsh. From the internet.
And I am...
We're just leaning into my microphone, right into up mic. And over my phone.
We've just spent half an hour on sound, but you carry on. I'll just hover over my microphone. My name is Robert Welsh, also from the internet, but not as involved. It's both of our jobs, so I don't know how involved you want to be. That's completely up to you. Welcome back to your own podular cast, Robert.
Oh, thank you. Welcome to your mind.
Wow, thank you so much.
Okay. I'm being told off.
Yeah, Robert keeps... Robert's audio is just like something we always struggle with every week.
Don't touch me.
Last week... last week we sounded a bit too echoey, yeah. So we hope this...
We're hoping our microphones are better.
Yeah, they should be better.
We practiced... the audio just now and you were in a certain position and yes. Then as soon as the podcast starts you're like ah!
Yeah, I love laughing directly on my microphone.
Just to laugh.
How's your week been?
God, what day are we on?
It is
Wednesday.
Tuesday. Oh. Today we're about to go into another lockdown in 2 days.
Yes, so my week's been fine. I've been buying frames all week.
Wow.
I've been buying lots of
tell us more
from Etsy.
Okay, nice.
That's it.
I actually really like Etsy at the moment.
I keep treating Etsy like Amazon.
Yes.
So I go into Etsy like maybe once a day. I don't buy something every day, but I'll go on and be like, oh, maybe I need a key ring.
Yeah, maybe I need two designer bookends.
Maybe I need a lamp holder.
Do you know what we found? I think I told you about this, and I don't even read, but we got a big bookshelf, right? And we found these like little, they're like, I can't remember what they're called, but they're like little scenes that you put in between your books.
Yes, I've seen them.
And they look like little alleyways that go off to nowhere.
It's going to be really expensive.
£300 for the one I really, really want.
But I can imagine the detail that's gone into it and the precision.
Oh, lighting.
I assume they use tweezers.
They probably use tweezers. If you watch like the mini making houses, do you watch those on YouTube?
So you're asking me.
Oh my god.
Do you mean like the small houses?
Small houses.
Do like not people, make people that are like, oh, I want to ruin my life and live in a small house.
Oh no, not that shit. Oh. No. People like who make miniature houses.
Yes, no, I do. And
oh,
yeah,
I love it. Yeah.
And make like railways.
Oh, railways. And they make like lakes and it looks like real water.
Yeah, but it's
I
not.
Would just do like Klingville.
It's not real water.
Glue,
yeah. I know.
Papier mache.
Yeah. Papier mache. My week's been fine.
Oh, how's your week been?
Yes. What's happened? I'm trying to think. I saw a comment that people like it when we get a bit more personal. So what's happening in my life? taking Bree to the groomers today because she's a muddy guy.
Well, I panicked.
Oh, we just let her off the lead in the woods for the first time.
Clothes?
She's great. Oh. She's got amazing recall. She explores a little bit then comes right back. She's very good.
We decided to walk Winnie and Frankie separately yesterday.
How was that?
Because, so Winnie did fine with Craig. I took Frankie around the neighborhood and it's his first few, like, couple of walks. We obviously booked a trainer to help us out with everything.
Yeah.
But lockdown, so now we can't. I think we're going to meet one person outside, so I wonder
if... You have to meet her outside.
So for everyone who doesn't know, we were walking him and he just starts screaming. Not like just any like, oh, we're dogs and we're barking at things going past. Screaming like they're being
nervous,
abused.
Like...
Yeah, it's a really horrible, nervous, anxious scream. And we're like, hey, I don't want to, I feel bad for him. I don't want to subject him to that. So we put him in a car and took him home. And so we walked him separately. I think he was really scared, but I remember walking Winnie on her first walk. Car goes past, he kind of sits down and like looks really...
Oh my God, Brie, when we first took her out, would like run. She wouldn't know where to go, but when the car went past, she would try and run. And half the time, she tried to run into the road, not knowing where she was going.
The best place to run from a car.
Right in front of it. So, yeah, it took a while, but we just had to keep doing it, like, every day.
It wasn't a very nice walk. I think he was really scared, so I carried him home the rest of the way, because he was so cute.
Yeah, maybe you should let him lick people's cars so he gets used to them.
I did. I let him lick a BMW, and then I was like, oh, no, it's a BMW. That person's going to get really arsy with me.
I was joking.
Because they don't like the world.
Yeah.
I let him lick cars the floor if it was safe to do so. I gave him lots of those little lamb things.
Little treats.
Anyway, that's life, guys. So now you know more about us.
Yeah. What else do you want to know? Our pin numbers?
Do you ever get this thing? Right. So I was in Waterstones. I thought I'd get one book.
Waterstones, remind me. Bookshop.
Bookshop. And then do you ever think, like, oh, I like that, but that's a bit more expensive than I thought. So to justify it, you buy a load more things.
Buy slightly cheaper stuff.
I may as well buy loads of things, and that justifies that more expensive idea.
Yeah. It's like, I have £100, so I get paid again. Let me buy.
Let me buy £100 worth of puzzles.
I used to do that all the time. When I got, like, a monthly pay, like, wherever I was working, I'd be like, right, I've got £100. I can justify £80 on this thing.
Yeah.
And then I could live off £5 for food for the rest of the month.
£5 a week isn't bad. I'll just eat hummus and pizza for the rest of the week.
Ice and pizza.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were going into the music, so I started.
No. you carry on sinking.
Sure.
Is there anything you've been loving this week?
God, I'm so nervous. Yes, it is.
Why are you actually out of breath?
Yeah, why are you out of breath?
I think it was so high that I just kind of died. Oh, you're going to have to at-pate dramatically. My voice is so beautiful. Yes, there is. Ask me more.
What?
So I got these Melt Cosmetics. I don't know if you heard of them.
Melt Cosmetics.
Not my favourite brand altogether. They're eyeshadow palettes on, like, Good Ideas.
Are they cheap? Are they, like, Smashbox kind of quality?
Smashbox is expensive for what it is, first of all.
Okay.
But it's in between, but it's not the best quality. But recently, they're kind of well known for their first, like, stackable eyeshadows, the magnetic ones.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So they were ages ago. They recently released a stackable contour powder set and a contour cream set.
What, like Kim K contour?
No, not like that at all. These colours are actually contour colours. This is why I like them, because they're actually contour shades. They're not too orange. They're not bronzers.
Yeah.
And the shades and the tones go really, really deep. So I've actually started to rebuild my freelance kit, because I haven't used it for so long.
I wonder, though, because you're not going to do any jobs, are you?
Well, I do. I actually really, really miss it. I miss doing, like, the occasional, like, one person or wedding or something like that.
I'll hire you for the weekend.
Yeah. And I'll just, I don't know. Kim K, your face.
Yeah, Kim K.
But they're really good products. So I bought them for my kit, because it covers, like, a really nice range of skin tones and skin depths. And really nice texture. Mm. Really, really lush. And they're stackable, so it saves room in your kit.
Okay.
Okay, I have to go.
Okay.
Thank you so much for coming. Oh, no, James, actually, yes. Before we go into a lockdown.
I'm listening.
Is there anything you've been loving?
I have something here, but I actually don't. Oh, it's not great.
What tea are you drinking?
It smells like cardboard.
I can smell meat.
Oh, that might just be me. No.
This might just be my desk.
That's what I smell like when I'm warm.
My meat desk. Is that my t-shirt?
I think it's, you know, cooking what? Downstairs.
Yeah, it's rice for Brie, who's got bad tummy.
Oh, that rice sounds great.
It's rice in a bag. It's like, you know, the So I've been loving the Paula's Choice BHA 2%. We talked about this before, and I'm going to bring it back up again, because I get this question every day. Right,
put that on silent. What the hell is wrong with you?
God, it's my TV license.
Oh, God, I haven't set that up yet. I need to do that.
That's illegal.
I don't watch TV. The 2% BHA is a good one, and I'm bringing it up again because people always ask me, what is a good BHA? And I feel like there is only one. Good, real BHA.
I agree, not really that much about it, but it's the one you always see spoken, talked about.
Everywhere, all the time, yeah. So that is the Paula's Choice 2%. It's very, very good. You get it in a lotion, a cream, that's the same thing. A lotion, a gel, and a liquid form.
There's a gel one, too.
There's a gel one, which is really nice. And to be honest, they all do the same thing. It's just at different stages
different
of your routine.
So,
like, the lotion can be a little bit more gentler. The gel is more like the serum stage, and then your
liquid is obviously the toner stage. It's there. I'm pointing it up high or skincare that oh, no I, one's going to know.
See it,
do you see it?
I do see it.
It's the one with the wax on top of it. I just love it. If you're if you need a BHA, that is the one to go for. A starter BHA, I would say, is a Glow Recipe BHA, PHA, AHA, I think it is, watermelon toner.
Yes, yeah,
you can use that daily and kind of build up your tolerance. It's super gentle. And then you can move into the 2% BHA like once or twice a week and then build your tolerance. But that's it. That's all. That's the one I'll
I think we said about this before, but I spoke about when I got a sample size of it in a Birch box.
Yes.
And I was like, I swear this was like last week or the other
week. Oh, yeah. We were here.
Marcus, check your notes. Where are your notes?
No, we were sitting over there, so it must be 3 weeks.
Yeah,
three, 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Get your notes out. Where's your production manual?
Where's your minutes? Yeah, but it's the only thing I ever worked on my nose, ever.
That's because it's just simple, it's good, it just does what it needs to do. It's very, very good.
Why is it the only... Why is it the definitive BHA? Why can't anybody get it right?
Because that's all it is. It's just simple, just does what it does.
And
a lot of the other
BHAs
I've tried. Everyone else is trying to do like, it's a BHA with that also does this and also does something.
Yeah. And also grapefruit.
And also, yeah.
Yeah.
For no reason.
Banana
and I'm
bread.
Not anti-fragrance. Yeah. I'm not anti-fragrance, but a lot of exfoliating toners have fragrance in, which I just don't understand why you'd need it in that. It's not a sensorial experience, it's an exfoliation stage. If you have sensitive skin, it's not going to help the matter. So I just find that that's the very, not basic at all, but just good level. This does what it needs to do. This is a BHA. A lot of Korean skincare I use, they have certain restrictions on the amount of salicylic acid they could use in their skincare. So they use stuff like willow bark extract instead of that. So their Korean ones, or ones that are inspired by K-beauty, are good as starter kind of BHAs.
No, before we move on, there's been a lot of division in the Double Cleanse podcast social media fan base.
What?
A lot of people are very upset with James for shaming Robert about his keyboard shortcut.
Hang on, I think the opposite.
Well,
a lot of people agree
and
with me.
A few people agree with James.
No, not a few. Hang on. Imagine you're me and
You're a spiteful bitch.
Keyboards are difficult enough, what with my dyslexia.
Oh, don't you use dyslexia.
And then James is like, hold on a minute. I'm sitting there and then I just feel this heavy hand around the back of my neck. Shaking my head, saying, why aren't you pressing control alt C?
I don't know.
Well, no.
As you can tell, that never happened. Everything's black and white.
James is just saying it's just B for Blade. But Robert, when you look at B, you must see all sorts of different
characters.
I see a
W. Can we not use his dyslexia as something to pit against me? Listen, here's the thing.
Can you imagine he presses B and like Word pops up?
Yeah, the Sims starts going.
Because it's always running in the background.
Yeah.
Listen, you know, I have a photography background.
Yes,
I'm when Photoshop, I have to use shortcuts, all this kind
of
stuff.
Of time.
So I'm used to.
No.
Takes a lot of time.
This is a very bad apology. I don't know. What
yeah, his victim blaming
oh,
me.
I'm sorry if you felt that you were that you were owed an apology.
I'm sorry that people had to comment on it. But everyone who, for those who stuck up for me, thank you so much.
Yeah, no one did. I was just trying to defend you.
Thank you to everyone. All those private messages I got.
All the emails.
All the emails and handwritten postcards. Ding, 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 ding.
Try and do it how the music actually goes.
Okay. Should I be the background a bit?
Boom, boom, boom. I can't remember.
No, someone said, I saw it this morning. They go, have you actually ever listened to your podcast? That's not how the music goes.
There's definitely a wee in the background.
It's a little bit.
Wim, wim, wim. Wim, 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 wim,
wim.
But then the end music's different.
Yeah, it goes that's called
like, that's before we had music made and we bought the license for it. It's called like
Popcorn Disco.
Oh, can we get rid of it now then?
Yeah, we can get rid of
it. Yeah,
because it goes, I have to fade it out. And it goes really sharp when I fade it out because it gets to a point it just goes boing. I can't leave that boing.
It goes wham. Why don't you put our beginning music but backwards?
Yeah, play it backwards.
Well, if
you
originally
hear the devil music in it.
Join the Navy.
So, hello. Welcome. No.
I don't need to reintroduce everything. Okay,
hello, hello.
Three, and a two, and a one. Today, Robert Welsh and myself, James Welsh, are going to be talking about skin tone and texture when it comes to skincare and makeup, how they kind of coincide with each other. Because having a beautiful canvas gives you beautiful...
Results.
Is that the one you're happy with?
As they say, huh?
Is that the one you're happy with? Are you going to redo it?
Keep it in, but I'm not happy with it.
That was the worst one.
That was the worst one, okay. I did three re-intros and they were all terrible, but keep that one in.
Yeah, that one was nice.
Yeah, I know. That one involved everyone. But Robert, as a makeup artist, how important do you see skincare? I know you're not wholly into it, but so, how important is it to
so
you?
I get a lot of questions about skincare, people mainly thinking I'm you, but I say to them all the time, like, I don't know anything about skincare. However, I can prep your skin knowing your skin type and knowing what kind of makeup we're going to do, how long you want it to last, what kind of textures you want. And that's why it's so important. Skincare is important in general because it's your face. Oh, you need to have a face.
Everybody needs a face.
But when it comes to makeup, if you want your makeup to last longer, if you want it to apply a certain way in certain areas, and it's 100% important.
So
it's
a must-do. Yeah. How much of your consultations, so say I'm a bride, I'm getting married.
The most beautiful bride I've seen.
Thank you. you stay up to all the brides.
Yeah, I do.
So say we're doing our consultation. Yes. How much about my skin and skincare would you ask me? Like, would you want to know what I'm doing on the day?
First. Yes. So I want to know, are you at night? Are you a knight?
Probably not.
Are you going to be covered in armor? No. So how long your day is? First of all, are you hiring me for the whole day? Or just the morning?
For the whole day.
Okay. So I would want to talk about your skin. Is it oily? Is it dry? Is it somewhere between? Mm. And do you tend to get oily? Do you tend to have to retouch your makeup? Mm. Do you get really red when you drink alcohol?
What if I'm like, yes, especially after dancing to Common Eileen.
Then I'll be like, yeah, then absolutely, let's do this.
Yeah.
And then, so then in that way, you'll think about what skincare am I going to use that's going to help with the texture but not interfere with makeup, and you find that oily skin and even dry skin, excess moisture can interfere with the longevity of makeup. When you're doing a skincare for makeup on that day, it's just for that day. I'm not applying skincare to you to benefit your skin in any, or you know what I mean, or to treat your skin.
It's create like a canvas.
So I would use like serums for
like how
days.
An artist would treat their canvas with
Residue.
Pre-canvas residue.
Oh, I know, I don't know this.
Primer. Canvas primer.
Primer, yeah.
Thank you, Marcus.
Marcus is a paint. piece of paint.
Here's the paint.
Yeah, so it'll be more serums because they're extremely hydrating but absorbed quicker, leave a nice, like, plumpy texture on the skin. Eye creams I always use, not because I think they're important in skincare, but because it's an eye area, you know, where you need that right kind of balance of moisture for the eye area.
Don't, like, dry and creasing and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly, you don't want crusty, like, in these little bits here, get some crusty in there. Yeah. So little things like that, and depending on how heavy the foundation is, depends on how much moisture you want in your skin as well. So there's a lot of factors to kind of incorporate into it.
So what would you say is the penultimate, what does that mean?
Final.
Second to last.
Oh, no, I don't mean that at all. What would what would you say is like the best type or a good canvas to work on when it comes to skin? What kind of condition does makeup sit best on? Or does it depend? Can you completely
It does depend. But to be honest, when someone's really oily, you're trying to level it out to a point where it's normal, in air quotes. And when they're dry, you're trying to level it out to a point where it's normal. So you're kind of aiming for the same thing. What you want is smooth texture. And when you touch the skin after all your skincare, you don't want to have that film on your hands.
Like a stickiness.
Yeah, or something else. It's nice to have that feeling. Everyone's applied a serum. If you haven't, imagine like when you take off a face mask, like a sheet mask, and all the residue is gone and you just have this really nice plump.
That's not too
sticky,
serum.
But like, oh yeah, of course.
Yeah.
It's that kind of texture. So bouncy, a little bit firm.
Hydrated.
Hydrated, plump. But not oily or greasy. Excuse me.
Well, should we talk a little bit then? Because if when I try to do makeup, like a very basic makeup, the concerns, I think the concerns, but the reasons
your concerns
I
am, is the whole thing.
Is my whole face. The reasons I immediately wipe it off is the creasing around my eyes, right? The fact that it shows up every single pore on my nose, well, only in this area here,
crusty parts,
and around like dry areas. I
explain what you're pointing at.
Oh, so around my nostrils tends to be very dry.
Yeah. The crevice.
All the crevices.
The nose, nostril crevice.
Yeah, but that's only if I haven't exfoliated for a while. So a few things. Let's talk about getting a smoother canvas. Sure. So when it comes to skin texture, right? Because texture shows up so much more once you put makeup on top of it. So we have to remember texture's normal. We all need
texture. Everyone has texture in their skin because you need texture in their skin.
I always say this in my videos, but you know those videos we see or Facetune where people have completely blurry skin?
Yeah.
If you saw a girl or a man walking like that down
the road,
you would shit yourself.
You're an alien,
You'd be so terrified. Yeah. Like, it looks aesthetically pleasing, I guess, on the internet, but it'll be weird to see it in real life. Like, you want to see tone and you want to see texture. Also, quick comment, no one sees your skin texture as much as you do in the mirror,
absolutely.
Because no one is looking at you like that, right? Like, from where I am now, I can't see both of y'all's texture.
Very sticky
crust. There's peeling bits everywhere, but I can't see your texture.
I get to my skincare you've laid out for me, and then I go, I've forgotten the order, so I'll do it tomorrow.
I'll use olive oil.
I'll just use some soap for now.
That's my routine.
Oh, and it works. So a few of the best things you can do just to get a good texture. So by good texture, what do we mean? I guess like pores, like not
so it's
bumpy.
More like an ideal texture. So yeah, like I said, not bumpy, smooth pores. It doesn't have to be completely gone, but you don't want that a dot in the skin, if that makes sense. And then fine lines as well, which can really interfere with makeup annoyingly. Yeah. So
I guess it's about hydration, it's about exfoliation.
Yeah. But that's the main thing. If I'm doing like a bride, I will have a consultation with that bride and we talk about their skincare routine and I'm looking for if they exfoliate, basically. Do they use like a night mask or something like that? I'm trying to think of something that can be, like you said, those areas around your nose and especially around the eyes tend to, I don't know if you find it, tend to be the ones that dehydrate quicker.
Well, we get, there's no oil glands around here, right?
Around the bottom of your eye. Well, there's some, but it's not
As like oily as like your nose, for example.
Right, exactly.
Where you can see every single dot on your nose.
Right, so they get really super dehydrated. Up in like the crease, like just below the I keep saying crease is everything. Your whole face is a crease. Just below like the start of the eyebrows, that tends to get really dehydrated as well.
Your nose bridge.
Your nose bridge, yes, thank you. So it's really about looking after your skin to begin with, first of all. But if we're talking about, this is the thing, right? This is where people are like, primers don't work. And primers might not work. There's kind of like 50-50, like keyboard shortcuts kind of divide.
Don't you dare start bringing that
no,
up again.
I'm still physically
there's
shaking.
Been discourse.
So there's people that are like, no, primers don't work and primers do work. So it depends what you want it for. Do I think primers make your foundation last for hours?
Don't hit my stuff.
I'm trying to subtly destroy everything in this room. No, I don't. But do I think they help with texture and things? Yes. Things mainly. They do really help with. So I wouldn't go to a job without primers, whether it's a mattifying primer or a smoothing primer or a silicone-based primer or like a gel primer, because there's going to be something on someone's face where even if it's a dry patch, you're like, I need to primer that. That barrier between your makeup and skin, so you don't actually then have to deal with the skin's texture.
Right, so you make like a fake texture.
I've made a canvas primer, as Marcus would say.
That's good.
So that way you don't have to deal with that then. It's like, okay, done, finished, finalized. And then what breaks down our makeup, or what ruins our makeup, is on our face already.
The oils.
Or comes from within our skin. So you do need that barrier if you want your makeup to last a long time in terms of texture. Dry skin can break down texture. Dry skin can break down makeup or make it look claggy once it dries and sets, and oil can physically break it down.
Yeah,
we use oil-based makeup removers to remove makeup, so why would your face oil?
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's where I think primers are important, and setting sprays before foundation as well. So it is more about the prep for me, but then
setting sprays before foundation.
Yeah, I don't use setting sprays after foundation.
Why?
We put setting spray on our face because we want to protect our foundation, make it last longer. But what from the outside is breaking your foundation so much that you need to set it? You know what I mean?
Oh my God, yeah.
I think rain, maybe, perhaps. Maybe you're swimming, maybe. Yeah. But, you know, I don't rain or swim all day.
I could rain if I wanted to.
I don't think that's...
But you know what I mean? You're not always in the rain. You're not always in... And I doubt...
And if you're getting married, you're not going to step or whatever.
Exactly,
you're not going to step
exactly,
out. Like,
exactly.
Ooh, rain.
So by putting a setting spray on top of your foundation, you're protecting it from outside things.
That makes so much
right.
sense.
Right. Whereas if you put the setting spray directly on your skin after all your skincare, after all your primer, it creates this layer before you put your foundation on. And then it has that block in between. Because like we said, what's ruining our foundation comes from our own faces. So put that barrier in between. Why are you putting that barrier on the outside of what you want to protect? Yeah.
Does setting sprays, though, not give you a nice finish? Like, do some of them aren't
so
some of them
some,
meant to
some setting sprays... No, no, I know what you're going to say. I don't need you to finish. I don't need to finish.
They give you a glow, right?
No. Oh. So some setting sprays are... Well, some. Yes. Some are mattifying, some are glowy, some are, like, all this other stuff.
Right.
You can use them afterwards if you want to. Yeah. Nothing's going to stop you from doing a double layer setting spray, but use a setting spray before as well.
That makes sense because it's stopping. Yeah, that does make
yeah.
sense.
Yeah, or that's like clever. I do setting spray and then a hydrating mist, which are two separate things, mm-hmm. after makeup,
right,
to make it look a little bit more, especially if you use powder.
That's
products.
What I thought. If you're using something and it looks powdery and unnatural, I thought the setting spray made it look natural.
So setting spray can initially, because it wets it, mm. but remember, it all dries down, it all mattifies, and setting sprays are made to, in quote, freeze your makeup, mm. whereas a hydrating mist will hydrate that product a little bit more. Oh. So if you're going to use, like, say you use a powder foundation on your whole face, mm. I've done it before on clients, they're like, no, I need powder, they're dead set, they need powder,
they love
foundation. Yeah, I'll cake it on and I'll make them look like, I don't know, so dry, just really, really dry.
Kelly from year seven.
And but then I will drench their face in the hydrating mist, and it okay. kind of just reboosts that product. If
do they then look
sense.
At themselves and like, no, drier?
They're like, I want to look thirsty and sunburned.
I need to look spongy.
But then it all settles down and it will all mattify again. Whereas, yeah.
Marcus. Okay. So say I'm an actress.
Yes.
You are an actress, Marcus. You're whatever okay. you want to be.
Thank you. Okay. Well, I'm an actress.
I think
okay.
it's actor for everyone now.
Okay. Say I'm an actor. Mm-hmm. And say I'm an actor and I've been neglecting my skin.
What are you, yeah. sorry?
I've been eating crap. Mm. I'm dry, I feel horrible, yeah. and whatever.
Yeah.
And then I get a call and in like 3 days I've got an audition. Yeah. So that's for James, first of all. Mm. What can I do in a real quick amount of time to improve that texture of my skin to then give Robert a good canvas? Yeah. Or say I've got that call and the audition's today. Mm. What can I do with this horrible skin from Robert's point of view if you're just going straight into the makeup? Yeah.
So first of all, you need to know what the fuck's going on with your skin. So are you dry? Are you dehydrated? Are you like, is there just like a lack of life to your skin? So dryness is about oil. Uh-huh. Not being in your skin. Dehydration is about the lack of water content in your skin. So, and it like escaping your skin, so that usually means you have a damaged skin barrier. For example, we were talking about hydration being the main part. So let's say you're kind of both, you're a bit of everything, right?
Yeah.
So I think the best way to do it is exfoliating toners and then hydrating serums and then good occlusive moisturizers. So something like a PHA. Is that Brie?
I think that's my chair.
Yeah. It sounds like it's breaking.
Yeah, just a bit. Let me go forward. Go.
So something like a PHA, which is a polyhydroxy acid, which is like a new world exfoliation thing. It's one of the newest exfoliating acids. Is really hydrating at the same time. So it works on the top layers of your skin, so exfoliates that instead of like going deep into your skin. So it's going to help you retain moisture, but also give you that smoother canvas on your skin by ungluing those dead skin cells. And then something like a hydrating serum is going to use like sodium hyaluronate, glycerin, sodium hyaluronate. Did I say that already?
Yeah.
That's the first thing you said.
Hyaluronic acid, all that kind of family of hyaluronic acid.
I'm just your average guy. Can I just go?
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information, information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's J-U-V-E-D-E-R-M.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Is the high street and buy these things, or is this going to be
the ordinary? Or you can, or the inky list?
Because my audition's in 3 days.
3 days.
Is it going to arrive in time?
So, no.
One sec.
No, you have no place being an actress if you don't look after your skin. These are all basics that, if you want like a good skincare routine, these are all the kind of basics that you need anyway. So, concentrating on that water content if you're dehydrated. You can tell you're dehydrated, for example, you, because you'll feel dry and tight, but you'll have this horrible film of oil on your skin still. Yeah. And it's like, wait, I thought I was dry, but why am I so oily? Yeah. So that's kind of like dehydration. Mm. Dryness is nothing like cracked skin. Sometimes it can be painful around your folds on your face, for example. Mm. You could feel that really rough texture. I would say whatever you are, chemical exfoliation is the way to go. Physical is just kind of like, It's just the quicker results. And then locking everything in with an occlusive moisturizer. So you're looking for things like shea butter, for example, petroleum jelly, all those literal layers that you can put over your skin and lock everything in. Do that for like every night up until your audition, and then your skin should be in with a fighting chance for that audition. I mean, it takes time for your skin to repair. Like, it's not going to change overnight or within a week even. So like when I completely fucked my skin last year, it took like maybe up until March of this year to like get right again. But yeah, it takes time. But exfoliation, hydration, locking it all in with moisturizers, occlusive moisturizers,
and say those powerful hydroxy acids.
Pathetraxes acids.
Direct every work.
I would then, if we're talking about makeup and keeping it fresh and actressy, because you want to look like you're not wearing makeup, but you're wearing makeup. Cream products. Cream products are great for textured skin.
Talking to your mic.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I'm talking to Marcus like it's actually a consultation.
This is why we need, like,
triangle table.
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder if we get a triangle table.
They're the Illuminati.
Yes, that's true. So obviously foundation is a cream. Red Bull. So obviously all your foundation products are going to be cream unless it's a powder foundation. But things like cream blushes, cream highlighters as well. There's something, now this is really like a strange thing, but there's something about peach tones that tend to blur texture on the skin. Ooh. So if somebody has drier skin, or it's quite textured, or they have acne scarring, for example, peach blush for some reason just looks like it fades it out. So not completely, but it looks smoother and more even. So I would go for these peachy, earthier tones. But cream products, definitely a primer for sure on the skin. And not one of a lot of people, when they have drier skin, tend to go for those silkier primers. Mm. They interfere with makeup so much. If you have a drier skin, go for something like Milk's Hydro Grip, which is like that gel, tacky texture. Don't go for that silky or silicone shit, because it just, everything just slides off, whether you're oily or dry. Terrible. So yeah, I would still definitely prep your skin and then use like creamier products for sure.
Yeah. Let's talk a bit about skincare. And just like the overall products for a nice canvas, I guess, in general. Mm. I think unless you're wearing a lot of makeup, I feel like there's no rush to kind of like, you know, stop your bumpy skin or really interfere with your texture too much.
Yeah.
But a sign of like
good texture is just a sign of like a healthy skin, I guess. So things like you're saying about the oils, so like oils interfering, like we're super oily, right? We used to be. I'm not so much anymore.
Greasy still.
So I'm not as much anymore because I think niacinamide and zinc, for example, obviously The Ordinary do their own kind of like serum with that, but every brand has their own Ordinary.
Oh yeah,
like,
they do.
What's it called? Niacinamide and zinc. Yeah. Dupe. So they're both good at controlling sebum production. So regulating it a bit more. And honestly, I think after about 8 months of using that like religiously and exfoliating properly, my oil's just regulated and I've never had this issue ever again. Like I used to carry on blotting tissues and everything and now it's absolutely fine. So niacinamide is something that you'll find in everything nowadays. So it is possible to overuse
it. Really it is in everything.
Yeah, because people are just shoving it in moisturizers, toners, but it is a really, really good ingredient. So I would look for it mainly within serums. Exfoliation, as I said as well, if we're talking about pore size, so like really on the T-zone and the nose, and I have like bigger pores just under the
nostrils.
So BHAs is what you want to look for, like the Paula's Choice one, the salicylic acid, because that can actually get into the pore and it's going to declog, in air quotes, break down those oils and make your pores look a lot smaller. Pore size doesn't change, as we know, but it'll make them look clearer and smaller. And then the general exfoliation that is going to allow for like a smoother canvas, so makeup will probably sit nicer on it as
absolutely.
Don't use physical scrubs, as we said, and there's just no need, because what you do get from chemical exfoliants, again like AHAs and PHAs in particular, is that hydration, so that lock-in of moisture,
right?
And then again, hyaluronic acid, something you want to look out for. I wouldn't use it in a dedicated serum because it's everywhere again, like niacinamide, it's in your moisturizers, toners, it's in your cleansers, it's in your sunscreen. So you're getting enough hyaluronic acid. That gives a temporary plump. So it might be something to use on a day that you're having your makeup done.
Because
it gives you that temporary, plumpness. Glycerin, as boring as it sounds, is the same kind of thing. It's like the original hyaluronic acid, but with a bit more longevity, if that makes sense. So, what was I going to say? So as long as you feed both of those with moisture as well. So what I like to do is called the sandwich method. So I do on wet skin, hyaluronic acid product, whether that's my moisturizer or a serum, whatever, then mist water or toner over that again. And that kind of feeds that serum and gives you a real plumpness as well. Retinols, again, are really good at exfoliating the skin. In the UK, we can only get retinols, not retinoids. I think we get a prescription. But in America, you get retinoids and they're better, basically. But again, a smoother canvas, and then just use sunscreen because that stops you drying out, stops your skin going crusty and bumpy and textury, and that'll give you a smoother canvas as well.
Absolutely, yes.
But that's why I love toners, because a lot of, especially dermatologists, will say toners aren't necessary, but they do give you that hydration. And that's the other thing they all agree on, is that it's a good hydrating step. So if you want that extra plumpness and you want that kind of like bouncy, dewy look, and it does help with texture as well, then a toner is very important.
How much would all of that cost?
Too much.
Yeah.
There's brands like the Inky List, who I absolutely love. The Ordinary is good, but they have very simple formulations that aren't nice on the skin. So they play terribly with makeup. I don't know if a lot of people say to you, but The Ordinary's niacinamide and hyaluronic acid peels makeup. So you put it on, it just kind of like rolls off. And that's because it's quite silicone heavy, a few of their products. But no, that doesn't mean silicones are bad. It's just down to the formulation of those silicones. There's so many different ways you can formulate silicones. The Inky List have, while they concentrate on particular ingredients, they have well-rounded formulations. So instead of just being niacinamide and zinc, it'd be niacinamide, zinc with something else, something else, something else. Consistency ingredients, viscosity controllers, so it makes it sit nice on the skin. The Inky List, their most expensive product is £15. They're really good. Then there's, like I said, every brand is coming out with their own kind of single ingredient product, so it really doesn't cost that much.
No, there's so many brands. Like, I get sent some things that I didn't even know existed, like this serum. So I'm like, oh my god, what the hell does that mean? You know, and then when you look into it, it's like, oh, this is amazing. There's so many brands like coming out with their treatments and all this other stuff to help with everything.
Well,
really,
that's the thing as well, is like brands, like I've said this before, but brands like The Ordinary make you feel like you need everything that's out there. In these single ingredient kind of doses, and it makes sense to be like, oh, today I just want to use my azelaic acid and my hyaluronic acid, right? But then brands like, for example, like the Inky List or even Indeed Labs, who's in Boots and they're really good, they have these better, well-rounded formulations that have a lot of stuff in. So instead of like paying £5 for five different serums from The Ordinary, you can pay 15 for one that has multiple concerns in, if that makes sense. So it depends. It depends what brand you're going for and what your skincare concerns are. But I know the trend is to go for these cheaper single ingredient products, but in the long run, you end up spending so much money on one ingredient that you don't even know if you need or not.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas you can buy one product that's a little bit more expensive, but you only need that one serum, for example, that one moisturizer instead of. So yeah, it depends, but yeah.
So if it costs you that much, there's so many things you can do for texture, but I find it really confusing because brands like The Ordinary, for example, I've said it before, I see it like science. I don't know what any of this is. It is kind of confusing where like you kind of want to do something, then it's like, no, I don't want to mess it up, so today I'll just cleanse, toner, moisturize.
Yeah, and that's the problem with it as well, is like you look at it, you think it's a really good idea because it's sciencey, but then it's like, wait, there's another side of it. It was like, well, can I mix that with that? Is that going to react? Yeah. And some things you can mix together when formulated together, but not when individual,
right,
if that makes sense. Yeah. So I don't know. It all depends, but...
That's what you should call your first product. James Welsh's science.
James, I am a science.
Ingredients, scientific.
Scientific facts.
Scientific ingredients.
But here's the thing as well. If you overuse ingredients, it can mess with the texture of your skin also. When I first started using retinol, oh my God, my neck looked like chicken skin.
When were you using retinol?
Like, you know, like really creasy and horrible.
Yeah.
I was using... Glow Recipes avocado
sleeping mask, the retinol sleeping mask, yeah,
but and then using Paula's Choice retinol on top.
Oh my fucking God,
because I didn't realize the sleeping mask has retinol in it.
It's called retinol sleeping mask.
Who reads labels nowadays?
Science.
You can't label things, James. It's the 22nd 21st century. Yeah. It's a century we're in at the moment.
Discourse.
So that was a big mistake. But it was making me really dry, and I was like, oh, this must just be my skin, you know, what's it called?
Turning itself over.
But no, it was awful. My neck. It hurt my neck.
So, Robert, you never used to chemically exfoliate.
Not that any
you?
Of those products are terrible.
Both really good products.
I used to use a chemical exfoliator ages ago from Origins.
Years ago.
But I was like, I don't know, like 17. So my skin was like pure
cement, yeah. Virgin silk.
Yeah.
So listen, here's the thing. So the problem, I'm always oily, I've got this amazing skincare that levels out my skin.
Yeah.
I feel like I've got nice texture when I stick to it and when I'm not going through shit like I am now. But I just have genetically big pores, let's say, on my nose.
I have gaping pores.
Oh. What can I do about that? Is that just a primer situation then?
It is a primer, but in a different
and
sense.
And for like the creases on my forehead.
So people need to start thinking. No, when you're thinking about your problems with your skincare, think about how you've solved that problem in other areas, for example. So for example. Things creasing. We use eye primer, eyeshadow primer to stop creases happening in our most creasing, folding, moving area where we blink and all this kind of stuff.
Eyes.
Yeah. So move that primer. Smile lines. Yeah. You can move that primer into those areas where it creases a lot. Forehead, smile lines. So a waxy eye primer, not concealer, not one of those liquidy ones, like something like, again, I hate using this advertising the brand, but it's personal opinion, MAC paint pots you can use are really, really great at doing that. Sigma eye primer, which is one of my favorites because it's a lot more drier, but then again, you do have to prep your skin knowing you're going to use something drier. But eye primers fill in pores amazingly. Make sure you wash it off, double cleanse, of course, like cleansing oils. That's the name of this podcast, Double Cleansing Oils. And then eye primer is amazing on anything that you find shifts or moves. NYX glitter glue, which is made for the lid. It's very tacky and very sticky.
It's got glitter in it though.
No, there's no glitter in it. It's a glue for glitter.
Oh, got you.
Okay, you're thinking of like fun glitter glue. Yeah, no. But it's made to hold something that's very heavy, like glitter, in comparison to the rest of your makeup on your eyelid. So it's made to hold it and stick it in place. So if you're finding movement around your smile lines, use the tiniest bit, because you might smile and it might like stick, you know? Yeah. But the tiniest bit on your fingertip and just pushing, push that into the areas. But difficult. I was talking to someone about this recently on Instagram. That works really, really well. So use your products in different areas that might, you know, think about what it does and how it can help in other areas as well. But I want to talk as well. Just, do you have anything else to say?
Not really.
Throughout the whole podcast?
No, I'm going to be quiet.
I just want to touch on really quickly how layering makeup can change textures as well. And it's mainly on the cheeks. So things like a blusher, highlighter, contour, bronzer. Building up all these products on top and all these finishes can lead to different results, if that makes sense.
Right.
Highlighter can potentially bring out, make pores more visible, make baby hairs, like peach fuzz. More visible. Same with contour and things like that. So think about as well how you're stacking your products. Kind of try and keep them separate, if that makes sense. But
no,
layered.
How do you mean?
So contour, for example, contour should be on the outside of the face.
Right.
A bronzer should then come in a tiny bit more.
So you're saying not to touch them or layer them on top of
each
other.
You can just overlap every single step, if that makes sense. Right. If anyone has a second at home, try putting a highlighter on over the top of blush. I mean, pop blush down and then highlight straight on top of that blush and then bronze and then look at all that texture. Look at those colours.
Yeah,
it's
awful.
So do be really careful where you're doing that. And that's all I have to say.
Cool. Should we talk a little bit about skin tone?
Yeah,
quick?
Let's do it.
Again, with skincare, it's really simple. It obviously depends on what you've got going on. So if it's post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation, so dark spots left over from picking acne, for example, or maybe you cut your face or your dog has scratched you on the face for the 10th time in the week. Yeah, your dog's bit your nose. Obviously once it's healed and you're left with that dark spot, AHAs are really good. Again, alpha hydroxy acid exfoliating products, they work on the surface layer of the skin, really helping that cell turnover, getting rid of that dark spot quicker. It's something that takes time though, and you know, I wouldn't worry about it because everyone has it, kind
everyone
of
has it.
Redness completely depends where your redness has come from. If it's irritation, then you want to use like you want to think about your skin barrier. So fixing your skin barrier, again, maybe like things like ceramides, peptides, cholesterol, all things that we find naturally within our skincare to rebuild it. So that really works in like the moisturizing stage and serum stage too. Why am I rushing through this? Because we were just going to talk about this quick, weren't we? What else is there when it comes to skin tone? Again, overall, when your skin looks dull and dehydrated and rough, that's when it could look like blotchy and a little bit sad and grey in my case. Yeah. So again, just a regular cleansing, a good cleansing, like take your time cleansing, like 60 seconds, massage over
the
face.
You would be so surprised how much a simple skincare routine. When we first got Frankie, I don't think I did a normal skincare routine for 3 weeks because I was tired. I couldn't be bothered.
Horrible.
And then I exfoliated for the first time in 3 weeks and I was like, why is my skin new?
Yeah.
Why is it now shiny and looks healthy? And even like marks that I thought I had were faded, if that makes sense. So the simplest little things can treat so much.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like taking your time to do it as well. So like retinols. Azelaic acid is amazing at actually targeting. So azelaic acid is like a lightening ingredient, so it's going to lighten your skin. But what?
Not bleach.
It targets that specific dark spot. So if you're putting it everywhere, it could potentially. But if you're targeting dark spot, that's potentially. There's like discussion within that. That's what it could possibly do. It could target those dark spots specifically and just change that area of the skin, if that makes sense. So azelaic acid is very, very good as well. But yeah, keep moisturizing, keep hydrated as well. Well hydrated skin looks nice and even. Dewy, hydrated, healthy skin stops you being dehydrated and dry and dull. A good skincare routine: cleanse, tone, exfoliate, serums, moisturizer, sunscreen. Sunscreen is the one thing you have to do because it can ruin everything you've just done. If you don't wear sunscreen, even in winter, and you go out now,
it's like making a house and then not putting the roof on.
Exactly.
It's like, so it's like decorating your thing house.
I'm not wearing sunscreen.
Well, you can tell because you look just scratchy as hell. Everyone's always like, show us a picture of Marcus, and we're like, we can't do that.
He looks physically dirty.
Nay.
No,
just a bit dusty. sunscreen does so much, though. Obviously, it keeps your... if you've got dark spots or you're prone to post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation, the sun's going to make that worse. Whether it's winter, like you see the sun now, that can still affect it. It can dry you out. Obviously, what am I talking about? Obviously, it stops like the sun as well, breaking down things like collagen and elastin and all that stuff we need in our skin. So just sunscreen, even if you're just going to get a moisturizer with SPF 30 minimum, just wear it every single day.
And bear in mind your age as well. I know we have some listeners who are, I call them ageless. So a little bit older, it means maturer in a nicer way.
You're so far away from your microphone, it's unbelievable.
But bear in mind your age as well, and the way melanin produces in your skin as you get older, the branches, I don't know, what's the thing that produces melanin?
Melanocytes.
Is that what they're called?
Yeah, I think so.
They're like little trees, basically, and it's like little branches that produce the melanin. Those don't start, not all of them carry on working as you age, and that's how you get sunspots. But if you had that sunscreen on to protect, you know, the need for your skin to produce that protective melanin, then you wouldn't get those sunspots as well. So think about, what's it called?
Yeah.
Prevention.
Prevention. I think that's something that tranexamic acid does as well, is kind of like interrupts that process of the melanocytes making their way to the surface of the skin, or something. Don't something like take on word
just
for fact.
Google it. what was I gonna say?
No, Google is not research.
Yeah, no, don't Google it. Don't use Google. Use Google.
I think that's it. Oh, skin tone. So, Robert, here's my qualms.
Yeah.
Really quick, because I feel like, as someone who doesn't know makeup, whenever I see color correctors, there's one brand that is like, green does this, green does that, and they all say different fucking things. And it's like,
it's very simple.
Yellow is better for this.
Yeah.
Dark, I'm going to say something, you tell me what color corrector color will cover it.
Yeah.
Dark circles that are gray.
That are gray. Ready peach.
Dark circles that are more purple.
Then you're gonna have to go for yellowy tones.
Dark circles that are more pigmentation on the skin that is kind of like a dark gray.
So again, peach, depending on how deep your skin tone is, lighter you want to start off that peach, and then depending on how deep you are, you want to go more pure red. But again, if that's only if your skin is very, very deep tone.
Scarring left over from whatever that is post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation and is like a dark gray.
Same again. So a peach or like orangey peach down to red, depending on your skin tone.
Red.
Green.
So whether that's acne or rosacea or irritation,
green.
It's just green.
Yeah,
not just green. Yellow
does help with redness also. So that's, here's the thing with color correction, right? You don't need a color corrector all the time. If you have rosacea, for example, you can use concealer's a full coverage anyway, but concealer with a yellow undertone. For example, someone like me who isn't so dark under the eyes but does have a bit of darkness there, I use a red tone concealer with a red undertone because that's all I need to color correct. I don't need peach, I don't need orange, I don't need anything like that. So
I've got like a brie hair up my nose. I thought I was gonna sneeze.
Have you tried doing this?
It's just a hair up somewhere. No, I'm not gonna do that.
Do you ever get one of your like hairs in your beard up your nose?
It's like, oh my god, a spine,
like a gnat.
fly
it feels like it's in my throat, like it's
probably
not, but it's like tickling.
Have
so
a
much.
Sip of your health drink.
Spa water.
Sorry, carry on. Free water that came with the spa.
But this is a thing of foundation. See what it covers and concealer. See what it covers before you color correct. There's no need. Here's the thing with color correction.
Oh, so there might be some foundations that are absolutely fine.
Yeah, they're absolutely fine. Here's the thing with color correction, right? If you have something you want to cover, just Google, this is the time you can use Google. Google color wheel. Color wheel. If you can find that color that you want to cover, say it's purple under the eyes, go directly opposite and that's the color you use to cover it. It's really that easy. Same with eye color. That's the same way you match eye color to your eyeshadow. Find your eye color, then go directly opposite.
Okay, that's simple. Simple enough.
Mm-hmm.
This is my life, sorry. Dog hair everywhere. Okay, that's simple enough.
Yeah. If you have any questions, don't forget not to ask us. In our messages.
I think we covered a vast amount. I think with skincare, it's really simple. It's just about the process and it's about having that dedicated routine.
Yeah.
Whereas it comes to makeup, I feel like makeup is more, not a quick fix, but like how do we, you know.
I think with makeup and your personal own skin texture, it's about experimenting with textures off skincare, and it's not like necessarily like, oh, this brand, this brand. It's like, do you need a lotion, a cream, or a gel?
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
And then see how that works for you.
Also remember as well that makeup isn't always about covering things up, but just making your skin look healthier. For example, like the Glossier little, what do I use sometimes? Oh,
The little concealer.
It still shows up my redness, it shows up my texture, but it just gives me like a slightly more even glow, which I like.
Yeah.
I don't wear it on camera because there's no point because you can't fucking see it. Yeah, but like if I'm going out for dinner, I might do a little bit like on the like around the nose, or if I'm looking tired.
A little bit of lipstick.
A little bit of rouge. so that's an, I don't wear it necessarily to cover up anything. I just wear it because it gives my skin that little extra kind of like
dewy glow. With things like makeup and skincare, you can add light and dimension to the face, which adds structure and distracts from other things. So if you don't wear foundation, if you're not a foundation person, good skincare, and then like highlighting balm, like a really nice creamy highlighter, just in the little areas where your skin naturally catches the light, tap it on. Not everywhere, because that is everywhere, but where, you know, the high points, then you have look like you have great skin.
Yeah,
even if you do have a few blemishes, everyone has blemishes.
Who cares? Yeah, that's the thing as well. It's not always about skincare. Makeup shouldn't always be about trying to strive for perfection or cover up anything that you have. It's just about enjoying the process and learning new things and working towards what you feel comfortable with.
Yeah.
What you think looks best for you.
Exactly.
Maybe some violin music behind that, Marcus?
Sure,
I think that's where we're going to finish today, because Robert has a panic appointment before lockdown.
I have a panic Botox and filler appointment today. I booked in with... I go to this wonderful lady in Southampton, Danica Payne. There's a plug there. And she's the only person I'll go to ever again in my whole life, even if I have to travel an hour, whatever. But I booked the appointment like 5 times.
Oh my God, and on that night, it was like Boris Johnson was announcing the lockdown. He was like, right, I booked it for Thursday. And we're like, no.
No, I booked it for Wednesday. No, but So she messaged me. She was like, what? You keep booking appointments. And she was like, I can do this day for you and we'll do all your things then and have it done. I was like, oh, amazing. Mm. And bless her, she had like 700, 1,000 messages of people panicking.
Yeah.
Being like, I need to get whatever filled in. So, yeah, that's life.
Yes, it's not for everyone, but okay. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. I've been James Welsh from the interwebs.
And follow us on Instagram at The Dog Podcast.
They know where to find us.
Don't forget to rate, subscribe.
Don't forget. And I've been James Welsh.
And I've always been Robert Welsh.
So that is it for today's episode.
Yes.
We have an announcement.
Have to tell you all something. It was James's idea.
No, listen, we're going to be taking a break. We
had the idea.
Also, now it's both of our ideas. So we are going to be taking a break. Yes. So we've done 30. So next week will be our last episode of the season. So we will have a bonus episode once a month until we restart in January.
Mm-hmm. So it's not that far away.
It's not that far away. It's a couple months. And we do have a few surprises along the way as well on our YouTubes. So keep an eye on both of our YouTube channels for a special announcement.
And we'll keep you updated on the Double Cleanse podcast.
Keep updated on the Double Cleanse podcast too. So yeah, we'll be back next week for our final episode. And then we'll have 2 bonus episodes.
Oh yeah, it's really not that long.
It's really not that long. 2 bonus episodes once a month until we restart in January. January the... Not sure yet, but we'll be back in January for another season of the Double Cleanse podcast.
Thank you so much.
I've been James Welsh.
And I've always been Robert Welsh.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Boing.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.